How many people were here this morning? I just want to, I was really blessed to seeing so many people come to the Lord this morning. That was wonderful. What was there, 5, 6 people gave their lives this morning? The Lord's good. I'm excited to praise Him today.
Our God is great and glorious. And we put our trust in your name, Jesus. Oh, you're able to save and deliver us. Yes, you are. We put our hope in your name, Jesus. Sing blessings, blessing and honor, glory and power unto our God forever and ever. All of the honor, all of the praise is yours, yours forever. Put our hope in your name, Jesus. There's nothing to fear. You're here with us. Oh, oh. We put our hope in your name, Jesus. Sing blessings. Oh. Blessing and honor, glory and power unto our God forever and ever. All of the honor, all of the praise is yours, yours forever.
That our Lord reigns and not the government.
Alleluia. We sing it to you, Lord. Alleluia.
Impossible.
got something a little more upbeat tonight.
Jesus said it.
Jesus said it.
Jesus said it.
Jesus said it.
Believe on me.
Believe on me.
Oh, believe on me.
Believe on me.
Scripture said it.
Scripture,
scripture
said it.
The scripture said it.
The scripture said it.
The word of God said it.
Scripture said it.
Oh, scripture said it.
Really
oh, I got a river on.
everybody in a turkey coma. You haven't even had turkey yet, but I think we need to praise God a little harder here. I feel something behind me on a Sunday night, and it was getting there a couple times, but there was just something missing, and I think we need to just press in just for a second longer. I believe Jesus is worth it tonight. Hey, listen, you can lounge around on Thursday. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a lot of sitting and eating on Thursday. But I think we need to press in just for a little bit longer here tonight. So let's lift our hands. Let's begin to worship Jesus. Let's play the thing. And Jordan, help me out because you don't want me to sing. Come on now. We've come to have church tonight. You didn't come all the way out here in a middle November day to just have church as usual. At least I didn't. I came to have some church tonight. Listen, actually, I didn't just come to have church. I came to have an encounter with the Savior. And I came with Him on the inside of me, like you came with Him on the inside of you. So I think we should just lift Him up for a couple more seconds here this evening. Come on, Jordan.
All right. Jesus said,
oh, believe on me.
Believe on me.
Believe on me, yeah.
Believe on me.
Scripture said it. The word of God said it.
Scripture said it.
Nothing the enemy can throw at you. If you get a praise inside of yourself that can be like that in November, there's no amount of valleys or cold days that can keep you discouraged. You know, the Bible says that David learned to encourage himself in the Lord. I think in November, David encouraged himself in the Lord like this. On a cold November night, David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. So I think he did pretty good. I think you should tell your neighbor, you praise God pretty good tonight. Go ahead, tell your neighbor, you praise God good. There's nothing wrong with praising God good. I think you need to give three people a high five and say, you praise God great tonight. You praise God great tonight. And do it with a smile on your face. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to do something tonight. He's moving. Praise God. I really feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. I'm not going to draw anything out at all, make it long or anything, but who here you need a touch? I'm not even going to ask you to come up. Who here with a raise of your hand would say, I need a touch in my body tonight? Maybe you're in pain. Maybe you're facing something. You just you need a touch in your body. You could use God healing you tonight. You can either, and you can raise your hand or you cannot. That's okay if you don't. I know there's somebody here tonight. Just with raising of your hand, just raise it up. I see those hands. Who else? Who else? Who else? I'm going to show you how easy things are for God. I'm not going to bring anybody up at all. Anybody else? Good. I see all those hands. Now, as a church body, I want you to pray with me that God would touch everybody in this place. Every person that needs a physical touch in their body, pray with me that the Lord will do it. Father, I thank you right now that out of our belly, there is a living water flowing out of us because, Lord, you dwell in us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we just speak healing right now for every person all the way to my left, all the way across the auditorium to my right, Lord. And Lord, maybe there's somebody online tonight that raised their hands and they're sitting on a couch or in a chair watching us online. I pray for every person, Father, for you to heal them in Jesus' name right now. We're not even going to beg you, Lord God, because we don't have to do that. You're a good God and you're powerful and nothing is too difficult for you. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody give a big amen to that. Woo! God is good. Praise God. Well, welcome to church on a Sunday night in Charleston. There is absolutely no place that I would rather be. And so if you're here, you're visiting us. You are our guest and we just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday night. If you don't have a church, we want to be your church. If you have a church but you don't have a Sunday night church, we'll be your Sunday night church. And until maybe your church starts having a Sunday night. But we're just so grateful you're here. If you are a guest, please take the contact card and the seat back in front of you. Fill that out, and when the offering comes by, drop that in the bucket. And we'd just like to be able to connect with you and let you know that everything that's going on around here. With that being said, there's a lot going on around here. And so starting November, throughout the month of November, is our Empowering Education Winter Coat Drive. That has been an extreme success all the way up until this point, and we're going to continue that until the end of November. And then on December 1st, somebody say December 1st, it's our Kids on the Move Gingerbread Extravaganza. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. on December 1st. It's for the whole family, so please come out and enjoy that. And then on December 3rd is our 64th annual Sunday School program. And I believe this is Rondé's 64th time doing it, which is really awesome. I totally thought that was going to be way more funny than it was, but all right, I'll try harder. No, I won't. But yes, no, it is not his 64th time, but it is an incredible thing, and I love it because I get to see my kids, and I'm always wondering if my child is going to do something that is going to be memorable. And trip, fall, different things, grab the mic. You never know what's going to go on. I believe it was one of Paul's kids pushed another one of his kids in through like a little thing that we had going on here, ripped it, and it was fun. I thought a brawl was going to ensue, but peace came over them quickly. You don't want to miss that. And then on December 8th, Paul Balazs concert, Christmas worship concert. You can find tickets online at lifehouseevents.com. It's going to be a great, great rest of the year, and it is toward the end of the year, but we have a lot going on, and we're going to finish strong. Somebody say, finish strong. Amen. Ushers, if you would please come on down. Get ready to receive this evening's offering. There you go. Wonderful. Good job. So I was thinking while Pastor was preaching on this morning, who here has ever found themselves in a tight spot financially? All right, the rest of you are still living at home or you are not. Your arm is broken today. But I believe if you're a human being and you've lived into your adulthood here, I believe that you probably have experienced at some point a tight spot in your finances. I've experienced tight spots in my finances. And what I've realized, there's something I've learned about a tight spot. Is it okay if I just share a personal experience when it comes to a tight spot financially? Listen, I'm not giving financial advice here at all. A little disclaimer for you. You can completely ignore what I'm about to tell you. You might suffer for it, but you can ignore it. This isn't a have to. This is more of one of those get to things. And so what I've learned is that when I get into a financial tough spot, that to get out of the tough spot, I don't go down to the store and buy a lottery ticket and hope to win. And here's the, listen, I'm not going to judge you if you do it. You could win the lottery, but I don't think it's going to get you out of the tight spot. History has proven that you can win the lottery and still find yourself in a very tight situation financially, even winning millions of dollars. There's all kinds of different things you can do. You can spend the last little bit of money you have on a financial planner. You can do a lot of different things. And I've tried a few things, but there's one thing I've tried that has gotten me out of a tight spot financially every single time and has never failed me, and that is pouring into the kingdom of God, putting my finances into the kingdom of God. When an offering, to make it really simple for you, when an offering bucket comes by, put money in it. And I've found time after time after time, the Lord helping me go from thinking it's a cave of endless misery to, wow, this was just a hallway to God's blessing. I believe that that is a conviction of mine. Maybe that's not a conviction of yours yet. Don't feel discouraged. Don't feel condemned, I should say. You may feel discouraged. And I want you to feel encouraged that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Don't try to figure it out naturally. I can't stand up here and tell you exactly why in the natural why that works, because I found out something. It doesn't work naturally. Write it down. Figure it out. Work it out. You know, do it, you know, percentage-wise or anything else. It does not make natural sense, but it does make supernatural sense. Test the Lord in that thing, the Bible says. You can do that. And I'm grateful that God knows where I'm at and He works with me. And that when the Bible says this, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And I believe that's what, the way that we draw near to God. There's one way, and that's financially, by giving into the kingdom of God. And He never lets us down. Somebody say amen. I need a better amen than that. There are more givers in here. There we go. Come on the count of three. One, two, three. There. I was worried I was in the wrong church for a second, but I know I'm not. But this is a very giving, loving church. You know how I know this is a loving church? Because it's a giving church. And I know it's a loving church because it's a giving church, and I know it's a giving church because it's a loving church. I think they're synonymous. I don't think you can be a loving church without being a giving church. So Father, I thank you right now for such a loving, giving church. Lord, these different campaigns throughout the year to bless the community and do outreaches, not only abroad, but even locally, Father. This church, time and time again, steps up to the plate. And even then some, Lord. Lord, if you're asking us to hit a double, Lord, this church is a church that goes above and beyond and hits a home run. Lord, if you ever ask this church to hit a home run, Lord, we're going to hit a grand slam for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Choir, once you've given, please come up.
Darkness shattered by light. I've seen joy break after the night. I wanna see it again. I've seen tragic and hopeless days turn to stories of amazing grace. See it again. So come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are desperate for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. I wanna see you again. See you. And we believe that greater things are still to come. We remember all the great things you have done. And we believe that greater things are still to come. Do you believe it? We believe for all the great things you have done. And we believe that greater things are still to come. We remember all the great things you have done. Greater things are still to come. We remember all the great things you have done. And we believe that greater things are still to come. So come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are desperate for your presence.
Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Thank you, choir. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm so excited. Wow, that's awesome. All right. Welcome to everybody that's online. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, if you would, please. Praise God. Thank you, choir. That was powerful. You did a fantastic job. Powerful, 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 powerful. Welcome to you that are online. We're glad that you're with us tonight. If you would, just turn your Bibles with us here. Well, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 5, if you would, please. The scriptures will come up on the screen for you in just a moment. But thank you for being with us tonight. Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. We'll look onto your Bible, your electrical device, and I'll look on my Bible here, Luke chapter 5. That PowerPoint needs to be here. But Luke chapter 5, fortunately, I have it on written paper, the same Bible John the Baptist preached out of. Thank you, Heather. I'm all set. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Says, now it came about, while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, oh, there it is, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, verse 2, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Jesus, please help me tonight. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Those of you that have read this scripture are familiar with the fact, and you wouldn't know it if you hadn't read ahead, but you know the reason that they're washing their nets is because they haven't caught any fish. You know, if you're a fisherman, you don't catch any fish, you don't get a check, and if you don't get a check, you don't eat. In the days of Jesus, the business world was not like ours. They didn't have any unemployment checks back then. You didn't depend on anybody just kind of stepping in to help you. It was succeed or starve. And so I want to talk to you tonight again on this concept of what do we do when it seems like things are not working. When it seems like, somebody say it seems like. I mean, it's working, but for a moment in the natural, it doesn't look like things are working. What do you do? What do you do? So notice, first of all, that Jesus is preaching a general word to the audience. Jesus is standing on the shore. There's a group of people that are listening to him. And he sees these two boats, and he steps out, and he wants to be able to maybe use the water to magnify his voice, because the crowd is increasing as the longer that he teaches. Now watch this. Verse 2, and he to the boats that he saw, and the fishermen were gone from them, and they were fishing, they were washing their nets. Verse 3 says this. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. I don't think that we should ever take the general message lightly. I think we have to be very careful. Jesus was not teaching some new thing. In fact, there's very little reference. There's some, but not a lot of reference to what he's teaching. But he's basically saying something that everybody in the audience can apply to their lives. Let me just say this. We have to force ourselves to never tire of the general message that's for everybody. We must never get bored with. We must always find an interest in. We've got to always have a hunger for the general message. Because we're not looking for God to teach us a new thing. We're asking God to remind us of the things that we already know. We don't usually get in trouble because we don't know enough. We usually get in trouble because we forget what we know. How many have ever done something and you said, I knew better? You knew better. You just at the moment didn't think to do better. Somebody said they saw me today a couple weeks ago, and somebody had cut me off in traffic. And I immediately got tense. I'm like, oh no. There goes my testimony right there. And the gentleman said, I was amazed at how well you handled it. Of course. Of course. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I handle it superbly? You know, I'm a reverend. And that's going to mean something more in a minute, okay? Somebody say the general message. How many are hungry just to hear the simple gospel message? Right? It's when we get away from the simple gospel message that we get into a whole lot of trouble. You know enough to win. You just need to avail yourself to the message as often as possible. Amen? All right, verse 4. Watch this. When he stops speaking, he now speaks to Simon, and he says something to Simon. Launch out into the deep. Now, we've gone from the general message to a specific individual message. I believe that God speaks to the masses, and God speaks to the man. And when you're in a tight spot, and we said this morning, if you weren't here, a tight spot is in an area that you're getting some pressure, but we understand every tight spot is just going to end up in a greater position in the kingdom of God. So when you're in a tight spot, and what you're doing that you used to do that no longer works, one, you get around the general message, but then you've got to seek God and say, all right now, Lord, what's the individual message for me? We move from the place of just being fed to going after what God wants to say to us. And Jesus says to him, go out into the deep. If you can make yourself listen and tune in for a few minutes, it'll make your trip here worth it, okay? Go into the deep has two things here. One, go into the deep because what you're wanting and don't have is in the deep. It's fish. It's fish. But I would say to you tonight, when what you're doing is not working and you don't know what to do because you've done all you can, not only hear the general message, but you need to go deep. What is going deep? Going deep is you don't sit and let somebody else feed you the word. You decide yourself you're going to go after to get the word of God for yourself. That you begin to say, all right, God, what do you want to say to me? All right, God, what are you going to... So in other words, the general message is building the house. The message for the man is the placement of the furniture. The general message is what kind of vehicle you want. I want a truck. But the individual message is what kind of truck? Right? The general message is you need a spouse. The individual part is you need a specific spouse, because how many know everybody can't marry anybody? It's not that deep. Okay? When we go deep, oftentimes you hear people say, I want to get deeper in the Word, which really is code for I want to get real weird. And I want to study stuff, and I don't really want to do anything with what I'm learning. I want to spend more time arguing points, because if I argue the points, then it dismisses me from the responsibility of having to do anything with it. Now, that's not Sunday night people. Sunday night people are saying, look, I want to go deeper. But going deeper is not getting weirder. Going deeper is saying this, look, God, I need you to say something to me that you've never said to me before. What is going deeper? Going deeper is going into waters that you have not gone into before. And going deeper with God is saying, God, I need you to say something to me, because everything I'm doing, I've done before and it's not working now. So speak something to me so I can understand it like I've never understood it before. Is that complicated? I don't think it is. I don't think it's that complicated. How many of you have ever hit the wall? You just hit the wall. Nobody's hit the wall. Has anybody hit the wall? Four of you have hit the wall, then three of you are going to be blessed tonight. And both of you that are taking notes are going to try to keep up. I'm telling you here tonight to understand that we have got to say, God, you don't need to speak to me like you did speak to me. Speak to me in deeper ways, in more ways that I've never heard before. Because I'm not facing now what I faced back. I'm not facing this thing that I faced before. I'm facing a totally new season. And God, I'm thankful what you told me to get through that season, I got. But I need you to talk to me in this season to get through what I'm going through now. That's called going deep. Living in shallow water is just taking the things that God told you in the 70s and repeating them, or what God told you in 2016 and repeating it. But when you're going deep, you're saying, Lord, speak to me on November 19th, 2017, because if you'll give me a word, I'll find a way out of this thing. Amen. That's called going deep. And the answer for Peter was in deeper waters. The answer for you is in a deeper revelation. That ought to take some pressure off you tonight. It's not because you don't have the brains. It's not because you don't have the connections. It's not because you don't have the ears. You just simply need a word from God. It was a day when people were so hungry for the word and they thirst for the word, but now we have so many conveniences and it's so easy and we can produce. And because we've had a little success, we keep leaning more on us and less on the voice. How many understand? We need to hear the voice of God like we have never heard it before. It's time to go deep. Amen. Your answer is in the deepness, not in the general, but in the individual. Can I talk about that deep word with you? What's interesting here is verse 5. Watch what Peter says. But Simon answered and said, isn't it funny how the flesh is? When God speaks to us, we come up with an excuse. How many have ever done that? God speak to you and then you've got like a reason why it won't work. Like, how rude. How rude. What? Look, but Simon answered, right? Like he's got to be contrary. Like it would have been easier for Jesus if Peter would have said, okay. But because we're intelligent, we have to question God because, you know, like we're on his level and being facetious. And Simon answered, but Master, I've toiled all night and I've caught nothing. And you can almost hear the tone in his voice like, I'm a fisherman, you're a carpenter, you pound nails, I catch fish. Okay? I've been to fisherman school. I've got a master's degree in fishing. And you hit nails. Who are you to tell me? And look what he says. Watch this, guys. Don't act like you don't do this. You hear the word of God and then you say, yeah, but. How many know your butt gets in the way when God begins to speak? Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Master, I've toiled all night and I've caught nothing. When you're going to get, watch this. Here's the proof that you're going deep. You believe something that God says when you have no natural reason to believe it. See, I've lost maybe a third of you here tonight, and I can't go back, so you're just going to have to say, God, thanks for giving me an attendance point for being at church Sunday night. The rest of you, let me just try to help you out, because you, this is not a Stephen King movie. You can't watch the last 5 minutes and get it. You got to pay attention from beginning to end. So understand, to go deep means that you got God speak to you like he's never spoken to you before. And number two, you've got to be able to say, all right, I choose to believe what God is saying, though there's nothing on the outside proving that it's true. That's called going deep. Number three, not only do you believe God tell you something you've never heard before, not only do you believe something even though it doesn't make sense on the outside, number three, you believe God is using the person that he's speaking through at the moment. Wait, look, this is Luke 5. So Peter, remember when Peter was asked by Jesus, who do men say that I am? And Peter finally piped up and said, you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, okay, right now the Spirit of God has revealed that to you. Prior to that, please listen to this, prior to that, all they thought Jesus was a really good preacher. Like, it's amazing how much it takes to make people want to follow Christ. These guys didn't follow Jesus because they thought he was the Son of God. They thought he was just a really good preacher. Who do men say that I am? Well, Jeremiah. Some say you're a great prophet. But Peter, who do you say? And Peter says, oh, I say that you're the Christ. Oh, that's been revealed to you. So in other words, everything that these men heard Jesus say up to this point, they just believed it because they believed God spoke through this man. Let's not make the Bible something it isn't. We think, you know, Matthew left the tax table because he says, there's God in the flesh. No. That's a really dynamic man, and he hears from God. I'm going to follow him. They only followed him because he heard from God. Until the point that the Holy Spirit revealed to them, he wasn't just sent from God, he is God. And so when Simon, when Simon hears Jesus say this to him, he's not saying, wow, God says, and he made the fish, and he made the water, and he made, no, he's saying, I accept the fact that God is speaking through you to me, and because God is speaking through an individual to me, I believe it's from God, but I trust you, and I'm going to go do it. When God sends somebody to your life to speak to you, and he sends a word through them to you, and you won't listen to it because you can't get over the vessel that he's using, you've not gone into the deep, you've gone into the shallow, and you've missed the blessing. Hello! I hope this is making sense to you. Because I've had a lot of people come to me and say, God said. And sometimes I've looked at the vessel and I've said, no, that's not God. And after a period of time, I realize, wait a minute. God will use any vessel he wants, even a donkey. Now, by the way, if a donkey ever tells you something, I would believe that was God. But sometimes if it's somebody you've known for a long time, you might question it. Why is that? Come on. If the deer head in my office started talking to me, I'd say, yes, Lord. But just because it's somebody you're familiar with, you might not listen to him. See, deep is not knowing something that nobody else has ever discovered or even cares to know. Going deep is yes. I believe God still speaks to me. Going deep is yes. I believe that I can believe that no matter what's going on the outside. And three, going deep is saying, all right, God, whoever you use, give me enough heart and wisdom to know, is this from you or is it not from you? Now, let me just stop right there. This is more teaching tonight. I hope that's okay for you. The reason you must be around the general message is because when you get an individual message, it must never contradict the general message. A lot of people get wacky and weird and deep because they forsake the simple message and they start building doctrine around an individual thought. And anything that you think or hear that is contrary to this is not God. It doesn't matter where else it comes from. It's not God, so you don't want it. Familiarize yourself with the general message, and you'll never be led astray by the individual message. You okay with that? All right. Where do we want to go from here? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Look up there. It's coming. Ready? Now. There. So Romans 10, 17. I'll go back a verse. You were on it. I was off it. So they sink back again. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking. Wait. Watch. This is a net breaking miracle. I'm halfway there, believe it or not. You got a reason to rejoice. I'm just teasing you a little bit. That blessing not only took care of Peter, but how many understand when God wants to bless you so good that he blesses you and everybody around you, that's a God kind of blessing? How many want that kind of blessing? Like, isn't it sickening when people say, well, I don't want prosperity in my life? Oh, you selfish thing. Well, I don't need God to bless me that much. Maybe you don't, but there's somebody else that does. And you just revealed that if you got it, you wouldn't give it. You reveal your greed when you say, I don't care about God blessing people. Okay. Grinch. I bet your kids love Christmas when they're with you too. I want God to bless me. I'm going to say it right here. I wouldn't care if God blessed me with millions because I've got millions of solutions that I could give away. So God gives him not only what he needs. I'm almost done. God not only gives him everything he needs, but God gives him enough to bless everybody he knows. And that would have never have happened if he would have disregarded the word of God. How many of you don't want to miss what God is saying to you then, if that's what that means? Awesome. I believe that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody say that. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. The general message builds faith. Now watch. The Bible says in the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Watch this. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. When? That's it. Just two times. There's only two times to be in the Word. When the sun's up and when the sun's down. Okay? Watch this. That you may observe to do according all that is written in faith. When you hear the Word, it produces faith. But when you meditate on the Word, it produces action. If you want to break out of your boredom, if you want to break out of your cycle, you hear the general message that builds faith. But when you meditate on the Word of God, it builds activity. After you meditate on the Word, then what's he say? Then you will. After you've meditated on, what God says to Joshua, this is awesome. Let me start over. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Meditate. You know what meditate means? It's like a cow chewing on its cud. How many get that point? It means you chew on the Word. It chew on the Word. You know, honestly, and this is going to sound terribly sacrilegious, but I think at some level, this reading the Bible in a year is hurting us. Both of you like that one. Because reading the Word like a speed reader won't make your way prosperous. It's meditating on the Word. Honestly, there are days that I can read chapters. There are days that I only read verses. Why? Because if I get a verse, I chew on it. I apply it. I study it. I memorize it. I quote it. I look at it. I look at other translations. I look at the background. I look at the context. Why? Because if I can chew on this Word and it gets down deep inside of me and then I hit a wall, guess what? I know what to do because I've not only heard to gain faith, but I've meditated to get instruction. Look at this. This is beautiful. I love this scripture. But you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. He doesn't say that, God doesn't say, I'll make your way prosperous. He says, you'll make your way prosperous. In other words, when you get a word from God, you lose your helpless feeling and you say, you know what, there's something I can do about this. Come on, shake your head like this. You're getting it. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. How many accept that status of being simple? One third of you accept the simple status. All right. Well, be patient with the rest of us. That, in other words, when I get in His Word, I'm just telling you, we have weak Christians. And it's not because they're not loud and they don't worship. We have weak Christians because they don't know the Word. Let's call a night of worship and we'll pack the place out. Let's call a Sunday night in the Word. And we don't need to open the balcony. And I love worship. No offense, worship team. I don't mean any offense towards the worship team. The worship team's like, we're gonna attack you the next time we're on the platform. I don't mean any, but there isn't He didn't send His song to heal your disease, He sent His Word to heal your disease. Right? And so if we want to have a worship night, let's get all the churches together and let's all worship. That's good. We all get together, that's fine. But you won't see any miracles taking place. Unless somebody gets up after the worship and proclaims the Word of God. And then when you proclaim the Word of God, His Word will never come back void if it finds a heart to rest in and we meditate on His Word. I am not going to serve God without results. And you shouldn't either. He says, your Word brings light. It brings instruction when I don't know what to do. Come on, musicians, help me. So I want to go to John chapter 21. John 21, look at this. What? You're not coming up? It's okay, because it wouldn't matter anyways. And the problem is, that's totally a joke. You know I think differently than that. I'm a pain in the rear end when it comes to it, actually. So, but that was kind of fun. Little verbal jousting going on here. I'll be sending some angry emojis to Paul after service today. Look at this. After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples. Now, wait a minute. Jesus has resurrected. Y'all okay? The only people are going to really enjoy this is people who love the Word, okay? And if you don't love it, okay? And on his way, and he showed himself to them. Verse 2. You know they shouldn't have been fishing. They should have been praying. But anyways, they're out. So verse 2 says these words. Simon Peter, Thomas, twin, Nathaniel, Cana of Galilee. So there's seven disciples, verse 3. Simon Peter, same guy, said, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you. And they went out and immediately got in the boat. And that night, look what happened. They didn't catch anything. My goodness. You have this feeling that Peter wasn't much of a fisherman. Because most of the times we see him fishing, he's not catching anything. Right? Must have been tough for Peter to leave his business and follow Jesus. I'm not sure he had anything to leave. But anyways, that's rude criticism right there, okay? It's like I left a lucrative business making minimum wage and making pizzas. Like coming to the ministry was the best gig that's ever happened to me, to be quite honest with you. We were going, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said, we're going with you. And they went immediately, got in a boat, and that night they caught nothing. Verse 4. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Verse 5. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any food? And they said, no. Salt on the wound. Verse 6. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. That's cool. The first time, Peter didn't catch any fish because he didn't go deep. But when he went deep, he found more than what he could handle. This time, Jesus says to Peter, you don't have to go deep. You just got to go to the other side. The first time, Peter was learning, I got to get a word from God. The second time, Jesus is showing him, you've got to change your perspective. He wasn't fishing on the wrong side of the boat. He was fishing on the left side of the boat. But when he changed his perspective, he stopped thinking that on the left, and he started thinking on the right. What was Jesus teaching Peter? He was teaching Peter, not only do you need to receive the word, but you've got to change the way you look at things. I got all my notes written down here. Go to Exodus 14:15. Look at this. I love this. They don't have any idea. The children of Israel, Pharaoh's behind him, mountain to the right, mountain to the left, and the large Red Sea's in front of them. And the Lord and Moses are like, you got to help us. We're in a tight spot. We don't know what to do. And this is what God says. Why are you crying to me? Why are you crying to me? It's like, God is not as soft as we think he is. God is like, why don't give me this nonsense. Why are you crying to me? Just look forward and go that direction. Come on, think about that scripture. I don't know what to do. I don't know what. Give me a plan. And God says, no, just face the right direction. I'm trying to read you tonight. Are you getting any of this? Okay, good. Okay, it's just me then. Because when you look at something that seems impossible, you've got to make sure that you just determine, I'm not going to look right. I'm not going to look left. I'm not going to look back. I'm going to look forward. Jeremiah chapter 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. That word branch in the Hebrew means I see something budding with new fruit. Verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you've seen well. I'm ready to perform my word. Wow. How many of you are ready for some real miracles around this place? I'm going to tell you how it happens. And this for real miracles. One, you got to go deep with the voice of God. And then you've got to position yourself with the right perspective. God says to Jeremiah, I'll do what you have the perspective for. Go back to verse 11. I think I went through it too quick. Go back to verse 11. You're doing great back there. Jeremiah, God said, what do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see a branch of an almond tree. And that word branch means I see a branch with lots of fruit on it. Now, if he was modern-day Christian cynic, he'd say, I don't even see a tree. All I see is a branch. Oh, don't act like you haven't met one. Right? The glass is half empty all the time, and it's dirty, too. What do you see, Jeremiah? Jeremiah says, all I see is a branch, but the branch I see has a lot of fruit on it. Hey, what do you see in your spouse? I see a spouse, very, very nice. What do you see in your children? I see wonderful, wonderful kids. What do you see in the mirror? I see a creation of God. What do you see in your job? Potential for miracles. What do you see in your future? God making a way for me. What do you see? And verse 12 says, look at what verse 12 says. And the Lord said, then you've seen right, and because you see it right, I'm ready to work for you, right? Hallelujah. God will work according to what you see. I tell you today, it's time to start looking at things differently. God will not only respond to your confession, he'll respond to your vision. How many of you see God moving in your life in a wonderful way? How many of you can see it? How many of you can see God moving in your family in a wonderful way? Come on, somebody. Do you see it? How many of you can see God giving you a brand new beginning and give you fire like you've never had before? Does anybody see it? Can anybody see a church packed to the walls, reaching people, that people are getting saved quicker than we can count on? Come on. How many can see it? How many can see it? You say, oh, I don't see it in the natural. I'm not asking if you can see it in the natural. I'm asking, do you have a vision for it? How many of you can see yourself being strong and doing the will of God? And God says, I like what you see. I'll put my word behind it. How many of you can see reaching people that have never been reached? I can see it. God says, all right, I'll put my word on it. Come on, somebody. How many of you can see people getting up out of wheelchairs or casting down canes and being delivered from depression? God says, if you can see it, I'll put my word to it, because I can do anything. For whatever I send my word to, it will produce results. Come on, stand to your feet. You've been so patient with me. You've been so patient with me. Let's give God a praise like we've never praised him before and say, thank you, Lord. I thank you that you will perform what you promised to perform in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Just vocalize it right now. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I honor you, Jesus. I honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I see a miracle in the making. I see a transformation taking place. I see your broken home coming back together. I see your anointing being stronger than ever. I see your ministry reaching people like you've never reached before. I see you well. I see you happy. I see you joyful. I see you confident. I see you ready.
resting. Why? Because you've got deep with God and you positioned yourself for God to fulfill a vision in the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah.
You are good.
Yes, He is.
Good.
Yeah.
You're so good. You are good. Good. So good. You are good. Good. So good. You are good.
Oh, praise God.
So
come on, sing
good.
It. He's a good God.
You are good.
Good. You're good. You are so good.
You are good. Good. So so good, and you are good, good, so good.
Every person, before we end this wonderful day together, that says, I want to go deep with God. I want to hear His voice, regardless of circumstances, and I'm going to accept the way He speaks to me. I want to go deep, or secondly, I want to have a perspective. I want to look at things right. I want to look at things right. Quickly, come and join me around this altar. Very quick, we close together in God's precious altar. Would you come? Every person that says, I'm ready to go deep, hear things I've never heard before, and I want to be right. I want to see things I've never seen before. Hallelujah. Come, let's just close this beautiful day, the Lord's Day, together in His altar as we just begin to spend a little time in His presence. Spend a little time in His presence. Just move right in close, if you would, please. Move in close. People are coming in behind you. Hallelujah. Come right on in close. Come right on in close. Well, you're never going to give up on me. Because you're so good, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Take your time. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to go deep. And I want to get the right vision. In the name of Jesus, let's lift our hands and receive from the Holy Spirit. Lord, by your Spirit, speak to us. Lord, in this altar, let the presence of the Lord install ears to hear what you have to say to them. God, in those quiet moments on Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, Friday, Wednesday, Saturday, day, afternoon, evening, in the middle of the night. Oh God, we thank you for the general message, but God, we're hungry for the word. We want to hear your voice. We'll chew on it. May we hear your Spirit speaking to us. And God, correct our vision. Correct our outlook. Lord, we want to be like Jeremiah. We want to see fruitfulness. We want to be like Jeremiah. We want to see where you're working and not where you're not. We want to have the ability to see like you see. God, we want to have a vision that your word can make come to pass. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you are good. You are so good, Lord. So good, Lord. You are good. Come on, you're a good God. Marabasi kara. Good.
So good. You are good.
Marabosh. Just spend some time in the presence of the Lord. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Never gonna let me down.
Rabarana. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, just seek Him for a minute. Just begin to speak to Him. Talk to Him. Enter into His presence. God, speak to us. Let us hear Your voice. God, whatever sin has come into our lives, remove it, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Nothing will stop Your voice in our lives like the sin that easily besets. So we thank You tonight for the blood of Christ. Come on. Removes all sin. Removes all attitude. Removes all callousness. And thank God. Come on. Let's let God give us a fresh cleaning. Amen. The debris of this world has got to be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I just say something to you that is really old-fashioned? And those that know this should know it. It's called, you know, I still believe without holiness no man will see or hear the Lord. We still need holiness. When those of you that work in the medical field know that when somebody comes into the emergency room from trauma, the first thing or the major portion of what takes place in that body is there's got to be removal of all debris, of all dirt, of all foreign substance out of that body. Got to remove it all before we do anything else. Before the next step, there's got to be a washing. And I would encourage you today, ladies and gentlemen, in our culture, you know, culture can change, but God's requirements do not. Just don't want to end the day without saying a little controversy, but, you know, you hear about all these Christians going to hear Elton John last night. I'm like, okay, this is the same guy that said Jesus Christ was a super intellectual homosexual. And this is the guy that said all religions should be banned. And Christians will spend more money on a ticket to hear Elton John than they'll give to missions. You have to wonder. You have to wonder. And I don't think anybody here went. If you did, I'm not saying this because I saw you here. I wasn't there, I mean. I'm not saying it's because I see you here and I need to say it, because if you went, that's your, you know, it's really none of my business. But the point is, and I'm not saying you're going to hell because you heard Elton John, but I think Elton John, if he doesn't come to Christ, will. And I think that we need to be careful in these last days that we keep our ears clean. That we learn to be, people getting way too familiar with the world. Way too familiar with the secular. And I'm not saying, I'm not afraid of the secular, but I am in love with the spiritual. I'm afraid people are replacing the spiritual with the secular. When you know more about the world than you do the Word. When you know more about Hollywood actors than you do the disciples. Then what you're doing, is, and I'm not telling you you're a bad person, I'm just saying you're distancing yourself from the hearing the voice of God's voice. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I'm just saying you can't hear His voice and you're missing out on a tremendous advantage. But how many commit tonight? I'm going to have a holy life so that I can hear the voice of God. That's what holiness is really for. Not so I can go to heaven. It's just one smart two. I want to hear the voice of God. Lord, give us clean hands and a pure heart. Come on, begin to pray that way. Everybody's got their level of conviction. God, Lord, help us, keep us accountable to that level of conviction. Let there be a purity in our thoughts, a purity in our words, a purity in our entertainment, a purity in the things that we will enter, that we will let enter into our minds. God, we want the good meat. We want the good food. We want what's good for us, not what damages us. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. I wish you had a Bible with you, but if you don't, if you do, lift it up. But if you got, just lift a hand and say, Lord, I commit to your word this week. Would you? Just raise a hand. Lord, I commit to your word this week. Come on. Just tell the Lord, I make a commitment. This is the altar. Make a commitment. I read the Bible every day. Either I read directly out of the Bible or I'm reading books that have scripture in it. Go ahead. Begin to tell the Lord, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Every day I'm going to spend time in the general word. I'm going to spend time. I make a commitment today, Lord, that every day, whether it be one verse, one chapter, or one book, I'm going to be in the Word. I'm going to be familiar with it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'll never forget, Sister Peer used to say, the more of the Bible she read, the more accurate in the gift she was. And I found the same to be true for me. The weeks that I spend more time than usual in the Word, I flow in the gifts better. The weeks that I get a little lean on the Word, it's not that God doesn't love me. I'm just not hearing Him like I should. But how many are glad for the Word of God? Let's read it. Amen. Let's read it. Let's read it. Let's read it. And then that the Holy Spirit speak to us. Would you just pray for your neighbor right now? That God would open their ears. You don't know what word they need from the heavens today. But would you begin to pray for that person to the left or to your right? God, speak. God, speak. God, speak. Go ahead.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble.
Hallelujah.
We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, we bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let us not lift our soul to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, this week you'll use us to reach hurting people like never before. In Jesus' name. Let me just ask you to pray with me tonight. This will look good. We've got to increase our prayer capacity in 2018. So before we go, next Sunday is going to be a good Sunday. I can't wait for how God's going to use TIFF to reach people. You know, we got family members that we're going to be inviting and bringing with us to church. And the Spirit of God, you know, there's two things. We've got to act. We've got to reach. I told you this morning about that. But number two, you know, the Holy Spirit has a way of drawing people into a place. We don't just depend on the Holy Spirit to do all of it. But you know, you can pray the Holy Spirit will just put a drawer on a meeting. Like God increases the magnetic power on a meeting. And people that wouldn't usually go and would find other excuses say, man, I just got to go. To be honest with you, when I was away from God and miserable, people were praying for me, and it was like a magnet that took place in my life in June of 1990. And something in me was like, man, there's nothing going to stop me from going to church this week. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did. I lost my misery, and I picked up joy. I'm so glad for that. But nobody invited me. I'll be honest with you. Nobody invited me to church that Sunday. There's no reason for me to go. It was a beautiful Sunday in the middle of June. But something in my spirit said, whatever, there's something pulling on me, and I'm not strong enough to resist it. How many believe that's the Holy Ghost? That's the Holy Ghost. And it's not gimmicks or actors or plays. I think it's the power of the Spirit that draws people. And when that happens, boy, I tell you, it's easy for people to come to Christ. Amen. Would you intercede with me right now? Let's pray. If you can join hands with somebody or put a hand on somebody's shoulder, let's get in agreement together right here. Let's get into agreement. Amen. Let's get into agreement. Come here, Caleb. Let me get into agreement with you, buddy. I'll touch your shoulder. I don't want to hold your hand. You can hold her hand. I know you like that, but I don't want to hold your hand. Though I like you, I just want to hold your hand. All right. Lord, I pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for the power of your Spirit to draw people to come to this service, this auditorium, next Sunday morning, next Sunday night. God, there are many people that we love. There are many people that we care about. And we want to see them have this relationship with you as well. And so, God, I pray in the name of Jesus for moms and dads, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, granddaughters, grandsons, nieces and nephews, stepbrothers, stepsisters, stepparents. Lord, I pray for friends, neighbors, co-workers. God, I pray that you'll give a huge attraction, Lord, of your Spirit to draw unsaved men and women into this building next Sunday morning at 10:30, next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. We believe, Holy Spirit, you're not willing that any would perish, but all would come to everlasting life. So I pray, God, that you'll start pulling people, start drawing, getting their attention, get in their heart, get in their mind. Let them see the invitations. Let them be drawn to it. Lord, let people that have never even heard of this place hear about it and come into these doors. And may there be an exaltation of your name. And may people long for you. May people look for you. And may people humble themselves and receive the greatest gift to mankind, that of salvation. We thank you for it. We give you the credit in advance. Anoint your people. Anoint the church of every age in this place as we go out this week. Bless. Open doors that would never ordinarily be opened, that the lost would be saved. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. 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 God bless you. Love one another on your way out.